Good evening. Welcome to the Massaquan School District's Board of Education regular public Board of Education meeting, originally scheduled for January 27th, 2015, rescheduled for February 17th, 2015. Call to order. Opening statement. Pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10, notice of this meeting has been provided by publication Asbury Park Press, the Coast Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sandy, roll call, please.
Mr. Catani.
Here.
Mr. Clayton.
Here.
Mrs. DePalma. Mr. Fiore. Mr. Gardner.
Here.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Here.
Mrs. Smith.
Here.
Mr. Serino.
Here.
Mr. Vitale.
Here.
Mr. Walsh.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Our mission statement. Manasquan School District's mission is to empower students to reach their potential and become lifelong learners. We strive to ensure that students play an active role in their education, are guided by rigorous academic standards aligned with the New Jersey Core Curriculum Content Standards, and function within the community that regards student, educators, and parents as full participants in the educational process. We dedicate ourselves to the realization of a supportive learning environment that nurtures growth, personal integrity, and mutual respect. Our statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases, by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it is placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Acceptance of minutes. Recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined committee of the whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of December 16th, 2014, and the reorganization meeting and closed executive session of January 5th, 2015. Closed session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such a time as the reasons for discussing and acting on a matter in closed session no longer exist. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes? Mr. Walsh. Seconded by Mr. Serino. Any discussion?
No.
Sandy?
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mr. Clayton.
Yes.
Mr. Gardner.
Abstain from December 16th and abstain from closed exec from January 5th.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mrs. Smith.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Mr. Vitale.
Yes.
Mr. Walsh.
Yes.
Carried.
Dr. Cajun, superintendent's report.
Thank you. In regards to enrollment, it remains consistent, 619 in the elementary school, 1,003 in the high school. In regards to our attendance comparison, fire drill reports, suspension retarding reports. December 13, we had 94.68, our attendance percentage. Our average daily enrollment was 976.13, and average daily attendance 930. December 14, 94%, the attendance percentage, the average daily enrollment 980, and the average daily attendance 923. In the elementary school, the comparisons between 2013 and 2014. 2013, our attendance percentage was 96. In December 2014, our attendance percentage is 95.048. In regards to the fire drills that took place in the high school, the date of the drill, December 12th and December 17th, we had testing of emergency management communication systems. So we did have two drills in the month of December. In the elementary school, December 12th and December 18th, we had drills, and we had an emergency lockdown and interior threat drill on December 18th and December 12th, we had a fire drill. In regards to harassment, intimidation, and bullying, none in the high school, and we had two situations in the elementary school, one of which was confirmed, and they both had detention and counseling. Focusing on the rest of my superintendent's report, you notice we also have strategic planning there as well. And everyone received the questions that the strategic planning committee had developed, and we've gotten out to all the sending districts. We had them put on the websites of all the sending districts, I believe.
Yep.
As well as our district, as well as the town's website. And that closes on Friday. Our hopes is for those surveys to be gathered, there are three of them, and then goals taken from the answers to those surveys by the strategic planning committee, and then action plans created. So our next strategic planning committee, we're going to deal with those answers to those survey questions that we got. And I'll report to you what the answers were as well, if that occurs. Any questions about that? Yeah.
Can we send out a reminder before Friday, and with the reminder, put just a little blurb of the strategic planning survey, which helps us know what you want for schools?
Sure. And a reminder in regards to a Honeywell and maybe a backpack flyer again, the elementary school?
Yeah, I don't know if a backpack flyer is necessary, but yes, I mean, but at least a Honeywell. And okay. Basically a little blurb of explanation of what the survey is.
We'll do that on Thursday. Okay. Awesome.
Sure. I think we could extend it by 5 days because of holiday and snow, and I just think February 20th, when everybody was away during the whole week, it might be.
I think
you might get more.
I don't think that's going to hurt.
My thing is, I don't know, and I received the Honeywell, and I know exactly what it is. It's sitting down, going back, taking the effort to go back and go log in online and take the survey.
Then re-email it.
I would say a reminder. I don't know if extension. I don't know if an extension is going to make people do it even a week from now. Like, I think it's an immediate thing. Maybe at the Honeywell at a different time of day, like maybe after work, normal work hours.
It's not going to hurt, though, Heather.
Yeah.
Given an additional 5 days, the more
I'm
feedback
just saying,
we get,
people
don't
were
you think?
So
right, but
for
I know,
days.
But how much time?
Take some time to assimilate
they
the
need
data.
By next Tuesday?
Document the information.
No, by March 3rd.
March 3rd.
Yeah,
right.
By March 3rd, so. Right.
March 3rd's not that far.
It's just open. That's
I think it's fine. I think we can give them more days. That's fine.
I think maybe you'll get a better turnout.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
after
people will be like, oh, I didn't answer it. I went away, and, you know.
No problem. Good. Thank you. Also, we had a walkthrough of St. Dennis with the mayor and our professionals, Garrison Architects, were there, looking at the site to see if it would meet the standards from the Department of Education. And the classroom space itself are up to code. What they need are handicap accessible bathrooms and an elevator. So those are the things that came out of the walkthrough. And next week, when I had anticipated tonight, we would have the Garrisons and Edwards and Ron Iannoli here. They'll be here next week. Any questions you have about the St. Dennis property, I mean, you can ask him then, so we could discuss it. But it was the building itself is in great repair. The classrooms are in great size, and it is a nice space. So they could be more specific with you about the Department of Education mandates. The ceiling heights are where they're supposed to be, and as well as the square footage. Yeah, Jim?
No, I got nothing.
Okay. Also, I had inquiries about our Title IX specifications in regards to athletic facilities and our athletic teams. And I made two phone calls to the U.S. Department of Education Office of Civil Rights, and asking them if they could come to district and do an audit for me, because I particularly think that our facilities are in need of repair. However, in regards to Title IX, they're fine. I mean, they're in need of repair for both athletic teams, be they male or female. And I asked them for something that they just don't usually do. I wanted them to come into district and do an audit for me, tell me what they think, because I'm hearing from the public about concerns. So I finally did, after talking to them, emailing them three times. John Carroll, the program manager from the U.S. Department of Education Office of Civil Rights, has a phone conference with me on Thursday. And I don't know if they'll come, because they won't come out unless they have a specific concern. I don't have a specific concern. I just want them to formalize and legitimize, I guess, my opinion that everything is fine here. So I just wanted to let you know I did that, and that he will be coming out, or not coming out, talking to me on Thursday in a phone conference at 4 o'clock.
Was the complaint that you fielded, was it specific to a sport?
The reason I'm hesitating to answer the question is because it wasn't specific to a sport. It was just specific to Title IX and fields not being repaired equally for females as opposed to males, and more focus being put on male athletics.
Okay.
So, more general. And I think we're fine, but what I think is very important, but what the state thinks is even more important. So if I can get him out here, it'd be wonderful.
If you don't get any help from that, you might, more of an informal type of thing is Joan Martin. I don't know if you know Joan Martin. She's pretty prominent in Title IX. Ron knows her, Cornegie. She's from Monmouth. I know she was pretty, she was pretty involved in the whole
sure.
Title IX movement throughout the years.
Okay.
And she's a local person. So.
Awesome. Thank you. Also, the other thing I wanted to touch on in my superintendent's report was park testing. And I asked everybody receive the policy that we have to choose something from park. Now, we're going to do that next week in the committee of a whole, I believe. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
But in preparing for that, currently in the assembly, there are two bills that are being discussed, and I just wanted to bring them to your attention tonight.
Thank you.
And when legislation's introduced into the assembly or the Senate, really have to take a look at who's introducing that particular piece of legislation, that bill, in order to think if it has legs or not. And as you can see on the first page, number 4165 has quite a few sponsors. And Patrick Degnan Jr. has really come to the forefront of Middlesex County as being someone who is recognized and paid attention to. And you can see all the people who are sponsoring this. And as you can see, this particular piece of legislation was introduced February 5th, and it focuses on allowing parents or guardians to exclude students from administration of certain assessments. Now, it's in Title 18A, which is what we follow in regards to legislation, that the Department of Education, the state of New Jersey, is responsible to administer state assessments, and we're responsible as public school educators to have students take them, because it's part of the curriculum to assess exactly where they are. Now, according to what that particular assessment is made up of, is their forum. They tell us what they're going to use. We had New Jersey ask, now we have PARC. And according to legislation, we have to abide by it. There's no such thing in legislation as opting out, parents deciding no. However,
and refuse it.
Right now, it's come to their attention that parents are opting out. So even though there is no opt-out, the state's saying, well, some parents are refusing to take the test. So having said that, we do have a policy that has some choices to be made in it, A and B, for next week. And I just wanted to bring to your attention that the assembly is taking this pretty seriously, and this particular bill does have some legs as far as I'm concerned. And you can see the second bill that's being introduced that's focusing on administration, and also included in your packet on the last page is from Assemblyman Degnan. And you can see here where he has sponsors, co-sponsored lines, and then he also included the statement that the bill stipulates that for the 2015-2016 through 2017-2018 school years, the assessment developed by the consortium of states known as the Partnership for Assessment, PARC, may not be used to determine a student's placement in a gifted and talented program, and so on and so forth. So he developed this. He does have all the people who are on the front page who signed this and sponsor this. So that is in discussion. I thought that would be something you should know as you look at the policy that we're going to decide on next week.
Can you sum up, like, what would be, do we have an option as a district to refuse the test, to not take the test? Do we have an option? What would be, would we lose state funding? Is there state funding? We don't get much state funding.
There's one district that has currently decided that they're not taking the test.
Is it Jackson?
No, it was Bridgewater, I believe.
I thought there was some talk about Jackson.
And they're, meaning the State Department is dealing with them as we speak. And the nice thing about, it's America, so we as a district can really do whatever we decide as a Board of Education is necessary. However, then, with any action, there's a reaction, and they have to deal with exactly what the state decides to do because of that. I think a better question for me to ask myself is, do I think that the PARC test has any value? And I think it does. I think it has value if it's coordinated in the right way. And I don't believe in putting stress on any child and putting a stressful situation. But the information that we can glean from a test like that and the reports that we can run on the Jersey Smart can actually allow us to focus on the skills that the children aren't developing and drill down to know how we can do small group and large group instruction. If it's utilized that way, I think it's very beneficial. But I feel because it's been tied to the structure of how we value and evaluate educators, it's taken on a life of its own and a fear factor, which I think is...
Well, I think some of the meeting that I was in attendance at the elementary school, some of the talk was, there's a lot of facets of it. It's how much time is being spent taking the test, how much time is being taken out of the school day to take the pre-tests, to prep tests, to teach them how to take the test, to focus on what we're going to learn in the, you know, we're down to, you know, half a year of science and a half a year of social studies. You know, they don't do science and social studies every day or every week. You know, how much time are we spending in education to prepare them for this test that we don't even know how it's going to go? You know, not to say how they're going to do, how well they're going to do, just the dynamics of the test. The fact that third graders have to type their written responses for writing is absurdity. So what, you know, some of the things that they were talking about were how much time is actually taken out of the school day for this, to get them ready for, to take this type of test. So, and we're talking about third graders being college ready. I mean, we're getting them out in the workplace. We're getting them ready for the workplace. We're getting them ready. That's what this is about, is getting them ready for the workplace. They're third graders. They're fourth graders. They're fifth graders. So.
The PARC is just an extension of the core content standards. And the PARC just focuses on, are the core content standards being taught properly and received properly by the children? And so it's a combination of both. Once you start talking about PARC, you really have to talk about the core content standards as well. So we're on a cutting edge right now of change, so it's hard. So I agree with you.
But yeah. Frank, I think the important thing is to remain on the cutting edge, because I travel all over the country, and I've got business in North Carolina. They voted to do away with Common Core. I have business in West Virginia. People live in Ohio. They voted to do away with Common Core. So, I mean, not to sound like a revolutionary, communication is the key here, because in 12, 18, 24 months, this may not even look. I mean, you've got various states scrambling to address this, so it's...
Well, we talked about this, about how many states were in it, and now how many states, like how many are left? It's
not many. And we've got great education in New Jersey. I mean, this isn't the forum for that, but to have the federal mandate, I mean, I think we can do it pretty well by ourselves. So I would, I mean, are people pushing back? Are you hearing from parents? From the grammar school, talking to their teachers, and then
you know, I truly believe that Manasquan is a wonderful place, really, and parents are really understanding the importance of education. So my phone is not ringing off the hook with parents, and I don't want that to happen. It's a funny thing when you say something like that. Now tomorrow I'm getting all these phone calls. I'm not asking for that, but parents understand the value of skill development. But I think that my take on it, Heather, is that parents just don't agree with the stress that children are being put under and the time being taken out of the learning environment to administer a test.
I think it's the I don't think anyone's, even at the meeting, we're concerned with what they're teaching our kids. Mm-hmm. I think it's the dynamics of the test.
Right. Yes, and I agree with that. I think what the test is trying to show us is correct, because those skills are needed. I think children, by the time they get to third grade, should be typing fluently. And if they're not, we maybe aren't too into the spectrum with that, then maybe we have to put some programs in to allow them to do that, because communications is key. And we don't even know what the jobs are going to be in 5 years from now or 10 years from now. So how do you develop children to get ready for a workplace or for the next level of education? By doing your best you can, by having a looking at the future. And that's why I think so many things that we are doing right now are so important with taking Manasquan to that place where we can propel students to the future. So, but I don't think they should be pressured into it with a testing format. But I think the concepts and the core content standards, they're right on with those things. I think the new evaluation system is super for education. I think the New Jersey Teach Act is right where we're supposed to be. But again, it's how you implement these things and taking your time. So that's why I think next week's policy is very important. And you do have some choices in that, and we'll talk about that then. Okay. That was longer than I thought I'd be, but I think that's the end of my superintendent's report.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to accept the superintendent's report? Mr. Walsh, seconded by Mrs. Mueller. Ms. Annie.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mr. Gardner?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Mueller?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Carried.
We are now to our first public forum on agenda items only. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allowed a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer, shall give their names, addresses, and a group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation and reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by an individual in not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion, or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only, please. Anyone like to be heard? Seeing no one. We are now going to approve the Manasquan only, the Manasquan items, general items number 10 through 23. Does anyone have anything they would like separated out, 10 through 23? Do we have a motion to accept 10 through 23? Mrs. Smith, seconded by Mr. Walsh. Any discussion on any of the items? Sandy?
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Mueller?
Yes. Yes, sorry.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Karen.
Manasquan Sending District items number 24 through 32. Does anyone need anything separated out? Do we have a motion for those items, 24 versus 32. Mr. Catani, second. Mr. Walsh, any discussion? Sandy.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mr. Clayton.
Yes.
Mr. Gardner.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Mueller.
Yes on everything. Abstain from number 27, Rich Reed and Joanna Presby.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Batali?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Carried.
We are to the old and new business portion. Does anyone have any old business? Mr. Walsh?
Tommy, at the last meeting, I know Lynn's not here, I asked for a copy. I mean, we thought we were going to have Garrison here talking about why we have to drill. Can I get a copy of Dave Erickson's report?
Sure.
I'd ask for it if you saw in the minutes that we passed. And Lynn's not here, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I can even call her tomorrow. I just want to, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
One thing that I looked over. I know he's going to be here if we want to talk about it before him. Just bringing up, I noticed on the new layout that the elementary school playground was suggested be put at the top. Mm-hmm. I thought that the discussion of the playground at the elementary school at the parent meeting that we were at was for playground equipment for the older children. The upper spot was just redone with new playground equipment the last couple of years, and those kids are separated. The older kids are in the back, and the younger kids are up top. So putting the new playground that they're proposing up top defeats the purpose, because then older kids wouldn't be able to use it up top, because they separate them.
I agree, 100%, yeah. And that's why I'm glad, next week when they're here, we'll tell them that. And I sort of explained that to them, but...
Okay, I just figured if you wanted to bring it up to them before...
Plus, the equipment that they have pictured there, isn't the equipment that they should, and that's when they told me, give it to the PTO and let them pick out equipment, but that's a great discussion for them.
If I may?
You may.
We have, next week, I believe, we have interviews as well for the board seat. And on the Friday up packet, I said if anybody wanted to see the questions that, you know, we'd have them for you to look at. And we do have them tonight, so if you want to pick a packet of questions up, Sandy, just take a look at them. You can, feel free, if we have them this evening.
How many people have put in?
Two.
Okay.
In reference to the random drug testing committee, we met last night again. And the committee chair would like to present to the whole board basically everything that we've gone over since June in the last few months, and make a recommendation as to what direction the committee thinks that the board could go in if they choose. So we're going to be scheduling that soon. I just wanted to let everybody know that we were pretty much wrapping that up, and he's going to be ready to present. He has some things he is going to be getting taken care of in the next couple of months, so he's not sure his availability, but I'll keep in touch with you as far as when he'll be presenting, but it will be hopefully in the next few months. It won't be at our next meeting, but sometime in either our April meetings or at the latest our May meetings. That's all I have. Anybody? All right. And we're to our second public forum on any items.
Michelle LaSalle, 44 Parker Avenue. Who are the candidates for the appointed seat? Who put their names in?
Sorry.
Do you have the...
The candidates' names?
Yeah.
Donna Hassone and Mr. Burns. Martin Burns.
Thank you. As you know, Tom, I received, and several other members of the community received, a copy of a letter that the board had originally received in May of 2013. That letter was written by an attorney on behalf of our former business administrator, and that letter stated, quote, that she witnessed and had been the victim of inappropriate behavior on the part, end quote, of a former board member. It also goes on to state specifically that board member, who was a sitting officer at the time, quote, has been improperly administering the school by individually contacting the following vendors without full board approval. Number one, architects. Number two, the board drug testing company. Number three, a water testing company. Number four, the state of New Jersey regarding the closing of the high school. Number five, a health benefit self-insured provider and current insurance provider. And number six, the Horizon representative for the New Jersey State Health Benefits Plan. Furthermore, without full board approval, authorized the testing of water and solicited a proposal from a demographer, an auditor, and a payroll service company. This list is not exhaustive, as there are a myriad of examples of other private actions, end quote, by this board member. For nearly 2 years, I've stood at this microphone with my name and asked this board to look into the actions of past and or current board members who may have been involved in actions that caused public funds to be expended that were not authorized or approved. You chose to ignore when the second highest ranking district official reported this information. You were aware of it, we were not. I don't know what it takes or what the threshold is. If Ms. Coates came to you today and cited the same concerns, would that letter be ignored and would it be dismissed? You know, members, when they're asked to decide if the actions rose to the level of possible official misconduct, the board, under Mr. Gross's advice, took it behind closed doors. So the public doesn't get the right to know who supports or who condones or who thinks this is right or who thinks this is wrong. I asked if that information was distributed to your fellow board members, because I think if they're asked to make an informed decision, how is it fair that you have information, Mrs. DePalma had information, and Mr. Clayton had information that the rest of the board did not? And I know that you said you probably cannot answer any of these questions because it was done behind closed doors. I think it's wrong.
That's not the reason that I explained to you on the advice of our attorney. The letter that you're reading from was a letter from the attorney to an attorney, and it was addressed to the members of the board at that time. I don't know how you have the letter when no one else has.
Several members of the community do, and it was also on social media. Yes.
Okay. Well, again, I'll go back to what I was going to say, is that letter is not something that we can discuss. You know that, as I said. Well, that's not exactly what you said.
Okay, well.
You said because it was behind closed doors. That's not the answer. The answer is that it's an attorney letter from an attorney to an attorney,
right,
which was addressed to several people, but not the general public.
The board's decision to take no action to find out if our money was spent without the proper authorization was done behind closed doors. Is that accurate?
I would say that's not accurate, but that's your opinion, yes.
My opinion, that in January and again in July
again,
of 2014.
Subsequent to that meeting, you asked Dr. Cajun to take your concerns to a higher authority, and he did so.
Right, without that letter.
Okay.
Wouldn't that have been a lot more powerful if you had the second highest ranking district official who's reporting to you that there's potential, or she's making assertions of possible misconduct? Wouldn't that have been a lot more powerful if people were looking at that? My point is, you're not privy to have information that everybody else is not. I'd like to finish.
Okay.
As the board president, what's the laugh, Tom? You know why I laugh? I actually have my property tax bill, and I know you don't get one. It has a pie chart. 51.9% of our property taxes contribute to this school district's budget. If you don't pay your rent, you get evicted. If I can't afford my property tax bill, I not only lose my home and have no place to live, but I also lose the equity in my home. And I get very frustrated when you're very cavalier. I mean, what more is there? What more do you need? I don't understand how a letter like this could come in.
Michelle, may I, please?
Go ahead.
The letter that you're talking about, plus your email, I sent to the county prosecutor again, and I believe his name is DeAngelis,
mm-hmm,
and he's getting back to me about that. So it was not ignored. Neither was the file you gave me.
You know what, Dr. Cajun? I understand. I know that this is new for you. I have no issue with that. I appreciate the fact that you're at least doing something. My issue, and rightfully so, is with the people that are elected in this room, not the sending district people, but the Manasquan representatives that are here overseeing a $23 million budget.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been lied to. I have another question.
Mm-hmm.
You know this.
Right.
I spoke to you about it.
Right.
Donna Bassone shows up at my house, who was a board member,
right,
at the time,
mm-hmm,
that Jack Campbell stood here like Elmer Fudd in a Bugs Bunny cartoon talking about putting a retaining wall project on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
He stated that that project was not from a former board member. He went,
mm-hmm,
on to state that it was Sean from Freehold.
Right.
That went to a motion in September. In June, one day after it's put on the floor, Donna Bassone claims she got a call from a former board member who said he drafted it. She claims that she told the board president, Mr. Pellegrino, and at some point that she told you,
she told
and I know that you said
November,
you didn't know until December. Well, actually, you told me December. So
November 29th,
December.
I think it was.
My
but,
point is, yeah, somebody in this room, on this board, at the time I'm asking these questions, knows that we're being lied to. And it got to a motion months later. This is June. In September, it gets to a motion on the floor. Why didn't you speak up? Mr. Pellegrino, why didn't you say something?
I found out about it later on. I think you're
how
distorting.
Far later?
I don't recall exactly what day she told me, but it was far after the fact.
It's never after the fact. You don't think it's right to come back to this table and say, I know you've asked for 6 or 7 months, and just so you know, we did get to the bottom of it. This smells, and it always goes back to this field. It always goes back to this project. How many letters didn't come from the state that didn't make it to the board? And I know this was pre-Dr. Cajun, and I know you're going to say, we've got to go forward, let's move forward.
Well, Michelle, we do.
You know what, Dr. Cajun? Respectfully, I'll tell you this.
Thank you.
I don't think moving forward is covering up. I didn't know this information existed, nor did anybody in the public, nor
right,
did most of this board, but three people did. And if it became public, maybe those three people might be exposed for their part in any of it. And I think it's wrong.
But I think timing is crucial in that. And if I had known when you came to the microphone, which I didn't, it was two meetings later, or December 3rd or the 29th. But my point is this. as you keep dragging us back into this...
It's my right to do that.
I'm not saying it's not, I'm just making a statement. As you drag us back into this, it stops the progress for a moment or two. And I truly believe that when I say we have to move forward, we have to move forward. When you bring me something that I feel has legitimacy, I bring it to the proper authority that I feel has to look at it. And that's what I've done. So, from my perception, I'm being as transparent as I can because of the needs that we have here. And every time I come to the microphone, every time I sit in this chair, I know the reasons why we're here. And those needs have to be met. I had a nice discussion tonight about PARC, moving forward with state testing, talking about an infrastructure, and those are the things that we have to focus on.
When you say, when I drag you back into this, I take offense to that. Because well, I will tell you, the decisions of the good people that you claim you sit with
and
are what is the impetus of this.
I reiterate, I sit with good people. They're here tonight in a snowstorm.
I didn't know that this letter existed. They did for over 500 and some odd days. Excuse me. You're about to ask the Massaquan taxpayers for several million dollars in a proposed referendum. Where was the decision made to let the ROD grants elapse before we get to a referendum? Where was the decision made to ignore Mrs. Hom's letter? Where were decisions made with FEMA money? This stuff is not in minutes. It's not in closed session. It's not in open session.
All due respect, Michelle, I didn't make those decisions.
I know you didn't. He did. Other people here did.
That's a giant stretch.
What's a stretch?
I'm giving you a lot of leeway. Don't point at me and say what I didn't do. I've done nothing wrong.
What did you?
I'm not going to have you continually attack people.
I
come
know
up
that,
with
Tom.
Something
you
that
hunted me down in a restaurant.
What did
you
I do
me
wrong?
Phone messages.
Tell me what.
Tell me.
Explain to me when I could have corrected some of these errors. Should you have been notified about the letter? It says in the letter, and now you want to talk about the letter? It says that you should have been notified. It was not my obligation to notify you.
I didn't even bring that up.
And you should have been notified.
I didn't agree.
Bring
that up. Thank
but
you.
Other than that, I have no responsibility as far as that letter goes.
I totally disagree.
I understand
and
you disagree.
Let me tell you why.
But
when you're sitting
I've spoken with attorneys who disagree with you.
Fantastic. You handpicked them. They should. I mean, we didn't go through the RFP process to get those attorneys, did we?
Okay.
And that's one of the things I complained about, Tom. There's a letter the day before the attorney's hired that says, thank you, Mr. So-and-so, for your phone call. That is not from an administrator. And the next day, he's approved. And I'm not slamming the attorney. It's not his fault. But the decisions that are made in this room on our behalf, we're not following the rules. And when you say it's not your fault, I don't know how you can say that. When you are the board president, you control the information. You went behind closed doors in January and February of 2014, and again in July. Mr. Cashman wasn't given that information. The rest of the board wasn't. Many people on this board were led to believe, and some still roll their eyes, that this was between board members, that this was just a fight between board members. You had the second highest ranking district official making some major assertions. And those that were sitting here, many were not, chose to ignore it. And I think we have a right to know why. I think we have a right to know what is this board's threshold. And as you're about to ask us for money out of our pocket that doesn't affect you, I think I have every right to ask these questions.
Was there a decision made? Because I joined the board about a month after Peg Hom wrote that letter. Was there a decision made?
Just to be clear,
to not share
we
that
shouldn't,
with me?
We shouldn't discuss
why
Mrs. Hom and any letter. And she didn't write the letter. But just
well, no,
to be
no,
clear.
The letter.
Right.
Why?
Because it was an attorney to attorney privileged letter that we shouldn't be discussing in public. Because it discusses. Because
no, but it was instructing to the board.
It's a former
that.
Employee.
Yeah. I mean, it was. Then we're not. My question is, why wasn't it shared with me when I joined the board 30 days later? I was just curious.
I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, would our attorney know that as to why that wasn't shared with me?
I think, again, I don't know if this is the answer, but in reading the letter, it specified that anybody who would have knowledge about what was being spoken about in the letter should receive the letter so they could keep their information. Being new to the board, I don't believe that would fall into your purview
but
to
then
receive
we,
the letter. And we I didn't, and Jim, I didn't know about the letter.
Well, Frank, I didn't direct that to you. I didn't
but
direct
I just,
that was the IT letter that was attorney to attorney. The letter from Mrs. Hom's attorney was to the board, just to be clear.
But that particular IT letter referenced that letter. So that's why I was saying that. And that's why you should have received the letter.
I see the rug and I see the big broom. Here we go again.
Now, I take offense to that.
You should.
Okay. but there is no big broom, there is no rug, as far as I'm concerned.
Anybody else in the public like to be heard?
Are we going to close session?
Yes. Executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Baer, Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides the Madison Board of Education may hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or one of the nine subject matters listed in Section 12B of the Act. And whereas it is recommended by the Superintendent, the Madison Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Madison, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. Whereas the length of this executive session is estimated to be 60 or 30 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Madison Board of Education, that the board should go into executive session and discuss the following items. Number 7, a litigation or contract matter or attorney-client privilege, which involves potential litigation. And number 8, personnel matters, chaperones, personal incidents, leaves of absence, and hiring. Items discussed in executive session may result in board action when the board reconvenes to public session. That will not be the case tonight. There will be no more action. Do we have a motion to go into executive session? Mr. Catania, second. Mr. Walsh, all those in favor?
Aye.